Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lithinga podcast. My name is Crystal Cedino, and I am the training and development specialist for the Native Learning Center. I'm thrilled that y'all are listening in on these podcasts as we release them every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you know, due to COVID-19 pandemic. So we are really appreciative of that. Happy to provide you guys with information that we find very important. So with that being said, with me today, I have...
Hi, it's Wilma Noah with the Native Learning Center. I am the training and development specialist here, and I'm glad that everyone can join us today. Thank you for being here, and despite all the circumstances, you're staying safe and healthy.
Our fabulous guest speaker is back again, and we're happy to have him, Jack Hedrick. Say hi, Jack, and kind of do a little intro.
Hi, Jack. My name is Jack Hedrick, and I am the president of Unbox Training Solutions, and we provide really training and technical assistance to mainly tribes and tribal organizations. About 85% of our clients are tribes and tribal orgs. The rest are really education associations, and then we have a few corporate clients. So, but we do training everywhere from leadership development, customer service, and today we're going to talk about some new fun stuff in tribal relations.
Yes. So to kind of like kick it off, our topic for the day is taking care of tribal business, teaching others why we're different.
You get the reference to the song title, right?
I believe so.
Taking care of business.
Yeah, taking care of business.
There you go. I was beginning to worry it was a generational thing.
Hey, like our last podcast.
Exactly.
With you. All right, so lead us forward. Tell us all the goods.
Yeah, you bet. Well, this is actually something that I've talked a lot about to people in one-on-one conversations, and I've never been really brave enough to talk about it in a recording or in writing. We're going to talk about understanding, kind of breaking down tribal politics and perceptions of especially outsiders that we work with, maybe outside vendors who are not Native and don't understand how the tribe is different. And so that's really what we want to drill down to. I've been doing a cultural competency training the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I found this definition, which I really liked, which is on sovereignty. And it says that tribes have the inherent power to govern all matters involving their members. The essence of tribal sovereignty is the ability to govern and to protect and enhance the health, safety, and welfare of all tribal citizens within tribal territory. And I think that that is really a good summary. And I think that it's important that people understand what sovereignty means to the tribe. So I think that's a big one perception you have to break through, because the way we see sovereignty may not be the same way that someone from the outside, how they would define sovereignty. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so I really try to encourage people to think there's four different perspectives when you look at tribes. So you have people who are within the tribe, who are employees, tribal members, you know, governance, your council. And then you have people that are within the organization, like your employees, but they're not tribal members. So there's like two different views you can take. Like, I'm an employee and I'm a tribal member. You have a different take on the tribe than someone who is an employee, but they're not a tribal member. And so then from the outside, right, you have people from the outside, which are going to be like your tribal members who don't work for the tribe, your elders, you know, tribal nonprofits, your, you know, Indian chambers of commerce and your tribal colleges that are not within, you know, they're not employed by the tribe, but they're connected to the tribe. So it's an outside, you know, they view things differently because they're not in the brick and mortar building every day, hearing the conversations that are happening. And then you also have your outside folks who are like vendors, partners, and just the general community who are not tribal members. So they're not connected to the tribe and they are not Native. And so they have very different perspectives. I think it will help if you realize there's four different lenses you need to look through. if you're trying to help figure out where people are coming from.
Right. So, like, in my case, I'm not a tribal member of the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm just an employee. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
So you have you have an inside view, but it's going to be different probably than someone who is employed, but they are a tribal member. So it's like there's four different lenses you kind of have to think about. So if you're communicating a message out, there's four different takes on it. So that's why it's so important, absolutely. You know, when you're communicating, especially if it's in writing, that you get it right the first time. There's always going to be somebody that feels like they're left out or whatever, you know, you have people we have people outside that are not native and they're not connected to the tribe that are in the community. And as a matter of fact, I had somebody that said it in conversation the other day, and they said, well, that's because the tribes have plenty of money. And I had to pull her aside for a sidebar and say, you're not understanding. You know, and she fell in that outside group. And so, you know, it's all about, it's not getting mad and defensive, but it's pulling her aside and educating, coaching that person to help them understand that that's a perception, but it's certainly not the case as we see right now what's happening, and that all the casinos are closed. And, you know, I mean, I've even seen some of the largest tribal casinos announced, you know, temporary layoffs. So, I mean, the reality is, you know, most of that revenue is going back out into the community and through wages and, you know, and in support to community programs. So I think that's important that we understand there's different perspectives, and we are always willing to educate that person or coach that person to help them have a better understanding. And Crystal, you travel, I know, a lot for the Native Learning Center. I mean, do you see those different perspectives?
Oh my gosh, all the time. I think, like, and it always kind of like makes me giggle. And it's just, like you said, it's more about like not getting mad. Like, even though, like, you know, you can kind of get peeved from it, but it's just more of, you know, being like, you know, like, no, you know, like, this is how it actually is. And that's more of, like you said, a perception.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of the time I'm having to, like, you know, they're always like, oh, Seminole Tribe of Florida, they're rich.
Just the guitar.
It's always about the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's always about the guitar. It's always about this, like, perception of just, you know, like, money or, I don't know, anything. You know, like, I don't want to speak on anyone's behalf or anything like that. But, yeah, a lot of the time it is very much, like, you just, like you said, educating and being like, no, like, you know, this is how it actually is. Or, like, like, our program is a very great example of that. We're actually funded through HUD, Housing and Urban Development. So we're very lucky to be, you know, underneath the Seminole Tribe of Florida. We are a program under the Seminole Tribe of Florida, but we're funded through Housing and Urban Development. And it's always like, there's always a need of explanation of like, well, this is how it actually works. Like, it's not just like, oh, you can just be sent out and you can just travel and you can go, you know, train and whatever else. So there's a lot of things that are involved.
I think those of us who are sort of within, we work within the industry, we're tribal members, I think it's easy for us to get hacked off or miffed if somebody makes those comments. And it's all in our response. And so it's, you know, it's not about just walking away. It's, you know, I challenge each of you listening, when you see that happen, make it your personal mission to help that person better understand Indian country. Because that's what it takes, is educating others about who we are and what we do. The second part of this that I wanted to talk briefly about, which really connects to why there's some of that perception out there, is really tribal politics. And that's the part that I'm really nervous to talk about while I'm being recorded. but, you know, I have been in, you know, many, many, many tribes over the last few years, and everybody thinks that they're special and different, but they're really not. At the end of the day, they all have pretty much the same issues. And what's interesting is that you have smaller tribes and larger tribes. And the differences, mm-hmm. that's where the difference lies usually, is in the size. You know, that's where you're seeing different types of issues arise. But at the end of the day, tribal politics is an issue for the big tribes and the small tribes. And I think that part of it, you know, I think that it's a very complex issue because you've got to consider why sometimes that happens. So in your small tribes, they're making an effort to only hire, you know, Native American, or, you know, they're using, you know, preference in their hiring policies. And so they're trying to just hire their own. Well, if you're a small tribe that only has, you know, 1,500 or 1,700 people, you're bound to run across nepotism at some point, or the challenge of, you know, someone's related to someone else and can influence that decision making. And so I think that it's so very important that the tribes make very clear that they have policies on conflict of interest and nepotism, and that's well known throughout the tribe, and that's even posted on their website. Because I think part of the outside perception is, as well, you know, the whole family over there works for the tribe. They practically run it, you know. And and while that's not the case, they may not even work. They don't realize that, you know, sovereign nation, you know, there may be 70 different departments within the tribe, and they may not even work close to their other family members. So I think I think that's where some of this perception comes from. And you know, when you're contracting with other organizations, make sure you're using, you know, you're looking and you understand that 2 CFR 200, and you make sure that you're understanding 638 contracts and how, and the implementations, and you're following your tribe's purchasing policy. Because what happens is when you see that, when you see people not following that policy, and the public mm-hmm. finds out about it, not only is that a misuse of, you know, federal dollars, but it also puts that sovereignty in jeopardy for all tribes. Because if you're not doing business right, the government could easily make the assumption, well, all tribes are not doing their business right, or they're all doing it this way. And that's not the case.
Right. Well, no, I was just going to say, I think it's also important to recognize that tribes do have the ability to have, like, Indian preference. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always mean that they're not going to hire outside of that.
Right. And sometimes you can find somebody that meets, you know, the qualifications for what you need.
Right, right. And there's this stigma that, like, it's interesting because I always get the question of, wait, are you Seminole? And I'm like, no. They go, they hire outside of the, you know, of their tribe. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, they do. Like, they will try and hire, you know, their own tribal members and whatnot if they're, you know, like, qualified and, you know, X, Y, and Z. But yeah, they do. So it's another one.
Yeah, it's interesting because every tribe, you know, handles it a little bit differently. But I mean, I think for the most part, they always try to give preference to their tribal members and the other Native Americans first, and then, you know, and then the third level, if you will, of that hiring preference goes kind of down to whoever's right. left. I've even seen some tribes that they'll say, well, do you have a tribal member in your household as another level? For like a single parent who may be divorced right. and the spouse was tribal. So the child is tribal, but the parent's not. So I've seen, mm-hmm. I've even seen another level in there where if there's someone in the household, that's a tribal member that you could get preference. So, and obviously mm-hmm. they have to prove that.
right.
But, yeah, it's interesting because you hear scandal stories and, you know, you hear stories of the FBI stepping in and, you know, that's exactly what happens. You know, if you're accused of mismanagement or something, I mean, that is what will happen. There are horror stories out there about, you know, them showing up and taking over tribal operations until they figure out what's going on. So when right. you hear those types of stories posted, I think that also leads to the perceptive, you know, outside perspective of, oh, well, those tribes, we all get lumped together. They don't understand we're all very different. And I think that goes into explaining the culture part too. You know, you can't lump all tribes together because they're just so different. You know, they're different on the West Coast than they are on the East Coast. And, you know, here in Oklahoma, I mean, they're very different from the eastern part of the state to the western part of the state. Very different.
I was just going to, like, just add to that, that a previous employee of the NLC and I went to a training for the Swinomish tribe. Mm-hmm. And then Wilma and I recently went to a training for Santa Clara tribe. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, and just, man, the differences were just like night and day. Like, wow, yeah, they are so totally different. Like, there's not, I don't know, I haven't really seen one that's the same. Similar.
No. And I mean the big even. So I did one, you know, for you guys out in December in Flagstaff, and what amazed me is that was the first time I had worked with Navajo specifically. And so there were about 35, I think, in the training. And as every single one of them introduced themselves, they started out with, "I am a member of the Dene people. My name is such and such." And then they would explain the bloodline, like what clan or what, I can't remember exactly what chapter that they were affiliated with. And then that was their introduction. Okay. They were all the same. They all started out with, "I am a Dene people." And it, I've not seen, ran across any other tribes that they all introduced themselves to be the same way. And so it turns out that there were people that were part of the same bloodlines that were in the room, and they didn't know one another. They were like, "Oh, I am too." And it was bizarre. The sociologist would love it.
And I, you know, it's like, I think that's the most fascinating part of my job. And like, just the level of education I get every time I do travel out, and you know, the stereotypes or the perceptions that are, you know, that have been presented in the past, and then what you learn and you're like, oh yeah, no, that's totally different than from, you know, what I might have been taught or, you know, told or whatever it may be. So I think that's something that's like a beautiful thing too, just being able to like, oh, so this is what it's actually like. And now I understand. And, you know, I might not be from this tribe, but I'm, you know, trying to like educate myself and learn what it actually is, or how things actually run.
So, well, and back to the whole perception piece, it just hit me that with all this going on, we've obviously had a lot of event cancellations. And so, you know, you work with a lot of hotel properties and a lot of those facilities. And so, the hardest, seems like the ones that have the most, the strictest policies are the tribal casinos. And even when you're booking them, it's a bigger scope than if you're just booking it at a Marriott or a Hilton. And so it's interesting to see that, just even in the sales department, that the culture of that across the country is different than that. And the other, as far as the other sector and hospitality. So just fascinating. There's so many differences, and we could go on for days, but unfortunately we've about filled our time. But something that I'm really really interested in, love having conversations about. So if I can help anyone, my email is jack@unboxedok.com. And then Crystal, did you have any questions or anything you can add?
Not really. I mean, I've been throwing pennies in the entire time.
Yeah.
2 cents.
And that's good. And I appreciate it because I think we work so well. This is awesome, the way we get to interact with this, have good conversation.
Yeah. That's why I love this platform, not to be biased or anything, because of course I'm going to be biased. Like, we developed it and whatnot, but you know, I also love our webinar platform, but I love this even more just because it is a conversation. Like, you kind of open the curtains a little bit and allow for others to kind of, like, you know, just learn and put in that 2 cents. And, you know, like we mentioned, like, no, this is how it actually is, or you know, mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So. But yeah.
Thank you very much, Jack.
You having me back.
Mado.
Yeah, and we appreciate you coming back. So I'm yeah. sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. this won't be the last one. I know for a fact.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, for our listeners, thank you very much. Jack mentioned his email earlier, and I'll go ahead and give a shout out to my email if you guys have any questions or, you know, podcast ideas. Even like if you work with an Indian country and you have something that can contribute to our NAHASDA objectives, you know, trying to make Indian country better and so on and so forth, feel free to reach out to us. And thanks, guys. I really hope whoever's listening, while this whole COVID-19 pandemic is going on, that you guys are trying to stay as healthy and happy. I know we can all get a little stir crazy, but we hope that these podcasts are kind of helping with that. But yeah, I hope you guys are
hashtag
doing well.
Alone together.
Your families are doing well. And
for real.
Hey. Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, thank you again, Jack, and we'll
bye-bye.
Catch everyone later.